doing Politics on Tap, I've had many a pleasant conversation talking to people in the bars and pubs of Northern Illinois. Occasionally, people will politely decline if I ask to record them talking about politics, but mostly folks don't object to weighing in on any particular topic while enjoying a pint with their friendly neighborhood citizen reporter slash drinker. But then came the presidential election of 2016.
No. Nothing.
Can I air you guys saying nothing?
Yes.
Voter discontent. Okay.
I've never seen anything like it. Mention the election and people twist their face like they've bitten into a lemon. They lean away and signal for the tab. I'm here to not think about the election, an elderly man told me. Then he put up his palm, talk to the hand style. In 2008, after the nominating conventions, The Economist put Barack Obama and John McCain on the cover of their magazine. Both standing in front of an American flag, the headline screamed, "America at its best." That felt about right. Everyone I knew had a strong opinion on who they were voting for, but that was the key, who they were voting for.
I want someday, before I die, I want to be able to go to the polls and really be proud of a candidate, like somebody that I really believe is the right man or woman, you know, that's going to just make you feel good about going in a ballot box.
That's a guy named Mitch I see most Wednesdays in Byron, where I play bar trivia along with a regular group of locals. We compete with each other for a couple bucks off our bar tab and bragging rights.
They were Purple Rain, When Doves Cry, Kiss, Little Red Corvette, Let's Go Crazy,
yeah, we got it,
and 1999.
While getting an answer to a question about which Prince songs charted after his death, Mitch told me about the last time he voted for a candidate he liked.
The only guy that I voted for since I've been old enough that I really thought was a good candidate was Al Gore. Honestly.
We take the trivia game pretty seriously at Fifth Alarm, a former firehouse turned bar and grill. And while waiting for the next question, I asked one of my teammates, Dale, who was also unhappy with both candidates, what either one could do to earn his vote.
The more they talk, it seems like the worse they appear. It's almost like if one would just be quiet for a while and let the other one talk themselves out of it. I don't like either of the candidates a lot.
The girls is one of the regular teams and a perennial top place finisher, almost as good as Dale, John, and I. When I asked about the election, the talk moved invariably to the most shocking thing ever said today. Guess which candidate?
Well, he's an ass. And I think he says things to incite people. I mean, his latest remark was ridiculous.
The
remark about Hillary.
The Second Amendment.
The Second Amendment, yeah.
Maybe it was partly because we were trying to remember the name of the Kathy Bates character in Misery. This is what passes for a literature question. But people really seem to be trying to puzzle out this election, to make sense of our really bizarre political moment, and really wishing the choice was something else, anything else. Like Katie.
Let me tell you, I have this theory that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are working together.
Okay.
So that Clinton will win, because I cannot believe the things that Donald Trump has said. They are ludicrous, and I think he is saying them on purpose so that Republicans have to abandon his support.
Katie's theory is pretty wild, but the comments of some of the other players suggested she might be onto something. Another regular trivia team, with a name just slightly enough off-color as to not be airable on public radio, were more sympathetic to Trump, though clearly in agony about it.
I tend to agree with a lot of what people say. He's a loose cannon, but I do not trust Hillary at all, so I don't know that I will go vote. But I am still struggling. I can't get myself to vote for Hillary, but it'll be hard to get myself to vote for Donald Trump.
Another team that does well regularly is made up of teachers from a nearby school district. Katie, who had the theory about Trump being in cahoots with Clinton, is on that team, and so is Adam.
If Donald Trump said, "I'm joking about all that stuff I said, here's my actual platform," something like that happened, I'd be like, all right, now the world makes sense, because right now it feels upside down.
Adam seemed like a thoughtful guy, mentioned he was an NPR listener and everything, and as a teacher, he came up with a novel analogy.
I think the best theory I've heard is that Donald Trump is like that kid in high school who starts a speech and he's totally winging it.
Yeah.
And the whole class is like, oh, he's going to fall, he's going to fall, he's going to fall. And the teacher's just letting it go. Right. That's what's going on. Like, he started it as a joke, and he's like, sooner or later, somebody's going to call me out on these shenanigans. Right. And nobody's doing it. It's just happening.
So this whole thing is to kind of teach him a lesson.
Maybe. Yeah. We could all be so lucky.
Right. Okay.
I like this idea. At the end of the election, Trump will be taught a valuable lesson about humility, and then maybe the rest of us can join a class action suit to get our year back. And how did the trivia game go this week? Well, let's just say these weren't the best slate of bar trivia questions ever fielded, and as a result, Dale and I had to pay for our beer. This is, of course, a trifling matter compared to who will steer our nation in the years to come, but at least the campaign has taught me how to react to defeat. So let me just say, the game was rigged. The questions were unfair. I wasn't treated nicely. Lesson learned.